Welcome to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring the random prompts of Daniel Rosehill as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters. Join us for deep dives into AI, technology, and whatever other random thing Daniel finds fascinating today. Subscribe on Spotify or your favorite podcatcher. Now, today's episode.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Hi there, Herman and Corn. I'm just listening to your episode about weights and balances. And I have to say, it's a terrific explanation. Actually, the most relatable explanation I've heard to date about such a complex subject, thanks to Corn the Sloth and his very inquisitive way. There is nothing sloth-like about that man. Maybe the way he moves at 3 a.m, but his brain is agile and curious, like mine, if I may be so self-aggrandizing. But that's what we celebrate here on this podcast. We celebrate asking random questions. There's no question that's too dumb. There's no question that's too obscure. There's no rabbit hole that's too deep. That's what we live for on this podcast, at least. So, Herman and Corn, let's talk about one more thing. You touched upon this in that episode I'm listening to, and that is MOE, Mixture of Experts. It is a architecture for large language models, as you explained very well and very eloquently. LLMs are gigantic composites of information, or really representations of information in a numeric vector space. And most of that is not needed to answer a prompt. As you put it, if I want to ask about something related to development or Python, I don't need to know about the Renaissance. But MOE is not the only architecture, and GPT, for that matter, generative pre-trained transformers, much more recognizable to people by the brand name ChatGPT, which is based upon the transformer architecture, is not the only LLM. It's possible to have non-transformer-based large language models still. They exist. So that's what I'd love to talk about today. We could obviously, you know, create 10 episodes talking about all the different permutations of LLM architecture. But let's just try to cover the basics. We talked about MOE, what other approaches are there that are interesting, and did the advent of the transformer
Everyone, welcome back to My Weird Prompts. We are coming to you from a somewhat chilly Jerusalem morning. I am Corn, and as always, I am joined by my brother.
Herman Poppleberry, at your service. It is good to be here, Corn. I have been buzzing since we finished our last session.
I can tell. You have been pacing around the kitchen with your nose in a research paper all morning. Our housemate Daniel actually caught some of that energy and sent us a follow-up prompt. He mentioned he really enjoyed our discussion in episode 2777 about weights and tensors, but he wants to push the envelope a bit further.
Daniel always knows how to pick the right thread to pull. He was asking about large language model architectures, specifically moving beyond the transformer.
Exactly. We have talked about mixture of experts before, but Daniel pointed out that even those are usually just a specific way of organizing a transformer. He wants to know what else is out there. What other non-transformer architectures that are actually making waves in 2026?
This is such a timely question because for the last 8 or 9 years, the transformer has been the undisputed king. It is like we have been living in a monoculture. But in the last 18 months, we have seen this incredible explosion of alternative ideas that are finally starting to challenge the status quo.
It is funny because in the tech world, we tend to think of the transformer as the end of history for language modeling. But you and I both know that science never really stops there. So, before we dive into the alternatives, maybe we should briefly frame why we are even looking for them. What is the fundamental itch that the transformer just cannot scratch?
That is the perfect place to start. The transformer, which was introduced in that famous paper, Attention is All You Need, back in 2017, relies on a mechanism called self-attention. When a transformer processes a sequence of text, every single word or token looks at every other word in that sequence to understand the context.
Right, it is like a giant dinner party where every guest is trying to maintain a separate, meaningful conversation with every other guest simultaneously.
That is a great analogy. And as long as the party is small, say 5 or 10 people, it works beautifully. But if you have 1,000 people in the room, the number of conversations grows quadratically. In technical terms, the computational cost and the memory requirements of a transformer scale with the square of the sequence length. If you double the length of the text you are processing, you do not just double the work, you quadruple it.
And that is why we have historically had these context windows that were quite limited. Back in the day, it was a few thousand tokens. Then we pushed it to 32,000 and 100,000. But the cost of going to 1 million or 10 million tokens using pure attention is just astronomical.
Exactly. It is the quadratic bottleneck. Plus, transformers have a fixed memory footprint during inference. They have to keep around this thing called the key value cache, which grows linearly with the sequence length. If you want to have a conversation that lasts for a whole book, the model eventually runs out of memory or becomes incredibly slow. In 2025, we saw models like Llama 4 and DeepSeek version 3 pushing the limits of this, but the energy costs were becoming a global concern.
So, Daniel's prompt is really asking, how do we get the intelligence of a transformer without that quadratic baggage? And that leads us to the first major alternative, which is actually a bit of a blast from the past. We are seeing a renaissance of recurrent neural networks, but with a modern twist. Specifically, the architecture known as RWKV and the newer XLSTM.
Oh, I love the story of RWKV. For those who do not know, it stands for Receptance Weighted Key Value. It was largely pioneered by Pun Bo. What makes it fascinating is that it is essentially a recurrent neural network that can be trained like a transformer. In early 2025, they released RWKV7, codenamed Goose, which introduced something called dynamic state evolution.
Wait, let us pause there for a second for the listeners. Why does being trained like a transformer matter? Because back in episode 273, we talked about how traditional recurrent neural networks were replaced because they were hard to parallelize, right?
Spot on. Old-school recurrent neural networks like LSTMs, which are long short-term memory networks, had to process tokens one by one. You could not start calculating word 10 until you were finished with word 9. That meant we could not use the massive parallel processing power of modern chips. Transformers won because you could feed the whole sentence in at once during training.
So how does RWKV and this new XLSTM get around that? How can they be both recurrent and parallel?
They use very clever mathematical formulations. RWKV uses a specialized linear attention that can be written as a convolution during training, making it highly parallelizable. XLSTM, which was a huge comeback for Sepp Hochreiter's team in 2024, uses exponential gating and a matrix memory. It actually proved to be Pareto dominant over transformers in many benchmarks by late 2025. It is like a classic car that has been fitted with a warp drive.
So it is like a shapeshifter. It behaves like a transformer when it is learning, but like a classic recurrent network when it is talking.
Precisely. And because it is recurrent during inference, its memory usage is constant. It does not matter if you have fed it 10 words or 10,000 words. The state it carries forward is always the same size. It does not have that quadratic attention bottleneck. It is essentially an attention-free transformer.
That sounds like a massive win for efficiency. But does it actually perform as well? I remember reading that recurrent networks often suffer from forgetting things. If the sentence is too long, the beginning of the sentence just fades away into the hidden state.
That has always been the Achilles heel of recurrence. However, RWKV7 and XLSTM use sophisticated state tracking that allows them to recognize regular languages and maintain state in ways even transformers struggle with. As we have moved into 2026, the gap has narrowed significantly. For long-form content generation or streaming applications where you need low latency, they are incredibly compelling.
It feels like a very elegant solution to the memory problem. But it is not the only one. If we move away from the recurrent side of things, there is this whole other category that has been making huge waves lately. I am talking about state space models.
Now we are getting into the real heavy hitters. If 2024 was the year of the Transformer, 2025 was the year Mamba took over the conversation. Mamba is the most famous implementation of what we call selective state space models. And in mid-2024, we got Mamba 2, which introduced Structured State Space Duality, or SD.
I have seen the name Mamba everywhere in the technical forums. It was developed by Albert Gu and Tri Dao, right? Explain the core idea there, because it is quite a departure from how we usually think about these models.
It is. State space models actually come from a long tradition in control theory and signal processing. Imagine you have a system that changes over time, like a rocket's trajectory or a chemical reaction. You have a hidden state that represents the system, and you update that state based on new inputs.
Okay, so it is like a continuous stream of information rather than discrete blocks of text?
Sort of. The breakthrough with Mamba was making these models selective. Traditional state space models were linear and time invariant, which meant they treated every piece of information with the same weight. That is terrible for language, because some words are much more important than others.
Right. If I say the cat sat on the mat, the words cat and sat are much more important for the meaning than the word the.
Exactly. Mamba introduced a mechanism where the model can decide, based on the input, what to remember and what to ignore in its hidden state. It is like having a notepad where you only write down the important bits of a conversation. Because it uses this state-space approach, its complexity is linear, not quadratic. Mamba 2 actually proved that these models are mathematically a form of structured attention, which was a huge unifying moment for the field.
Linear scaling. That is the holy grail. If you have a document that is twice as long, it only takes twice as much compute.
And it is fast. Like, incredibly fast. Because it does not have to look back at every previous token for every new token it generates, the throughput is much higher than a transformer. We are talking about models that can handle context windows of millions of tokens on consumer-grade hardware that would choke on a transformer.
I remember we touched on this briefly in episode 275 when we were talking about supercomputing. The bottleneck there is often moving data around. If the model does not have to keep looking back at a massive cache of previous words, you save a lot of energy and time.
Absolutely. But here's where it gets interesting, Korn. We are starting to see that these architectures do not have to exist in a vacuum. One of the biggest trends right now in early 2026 is the rise of hybrid models.
You mean like Jamba? I think that was one of the first big ones to mix things up.
Yes, Jamba from AI21 Labs was a pioneer there. In March 2025, they released Jamba 1.6, which used a 1-to-7 ratio of attention layers to Mamba layers. The idea is that you use a few attention layers to handle the really complex, non-linear reasoning that transformers are great at, and you use Mamba layers for the bulk of the sequence processing to keep the efficiency high.
That makes a lot of sense. It is like having a team where you have one genius who looks at everything very deeply but gets tired easily, and a group of very efficient workers who handle the flow of information. You get the best of both worlds.
It really is a hybrid vigor situation. By interleaving these layers, you get a model that has the high-quality reasoning of a transformer, but with a much smaller memory footprint for the key-value cache. It allows for much longer contexts, without the performance degradation you might see in a pure state space model. We even have Jamba Reasoning 3 billion models now that run locally on phones, but reason like much larger models.
It is fascinating to see how the industry is pivoting. It is no longer just about making the transformer bigger. It is about rethinking the underlying math. But I want to go back to something you mentioned earlier. What about the idea of retention? I have seen some papers on RetNet, or retentive networks. How does that fit into this landscape?
RetNet is a very strong contender from Microsoft Research. They actually framed it as the successor to the Transformer. They talk about an impossible trinity in large language models.
An impossible trinity? That sounds like a challenge. What are the 3 points?
The 3 points are training parallelization, low latency inference, and good performance. Usually, you can only pick two. Transformers have parallel training and great performance, but high latency inference for long sequences. Recurrent networks have low latency inference and good performance, but they are hard to parallelize during training.
And RetNet claims to hit all three?
That is the claim. It uses a retention mechanism that, similar to RWKV, has multiple representations. It can be written as a parallel representation for training, a recurrent representation for rotation for efficient inference, and even a chunkwise representation for processing very long sequences in blocks.
How does retention differ from attention, though? Is it just a rebranding, or is there a functional difference?
There is a functional difference in how the decay is handled. In attention, every token is theoretically equal unless the model learns otherwise. In retention, there is an explicit biological-like decay built into the math. Things that happened further back in the sequence naturally have a lower weight unless they are specifically reinforced. This mirrors how human memory works a bit more closely.
That is an interesting philosophical shift. We are moving from a model that tries to hold everything in a perfect high-resolution snapshot to a model that understands the flow of time and the relative importance of history.
Exactly. And it turns out that for most language tasks, that is actually a more efficient way to represent the world. We do not need to remember every single comma from 500 pages ago to understand the current sentence, but we do need to remember the name of the protagonist.
So, we have talked about RWKV, Mamba, Jamba, and RetNet. These all seem to be tackling the same problem of efficiency and context length. But are there any architectures that are completely different? Something that does not even look like a sequence model?
Well, there is some very experimental work in what people are calling graph neural networks for language. Instead of treating text as a flat line of tokens, these models try to build a knowledge graph on the fly as they read. But the real weird one making waves right now is TT, or test time training layers.
Test time training? That sounds like the model is still in school while it is working.
That is exactly what it is. Developed by researchers at Stanford and Berkeley, TT layers replace the hidden state of an RNN with a tiny machine learning model. As the model reads your prompt, it actually trains that internal model on the sequence. It is the ultimate adaptive architecture. It can keep producing perplexity even after millions of tokens because it is literally learning your specific context as it goes.
That is wild. It is like a model that grows a new part of its brain specifically for the conversation you are having. We are also seeing liquid neural networks coming out of MIT. These are inspired by the nervous system of tiny organisms like nematodes. They use differential equations to describe the state of the neurons.
Yes, they are incredibly robust to changes in the input frequency or noise. While they have mostly been used for robotics and time series data, there are researchers trying to scale them up for language. The idea is that the model's parameters are not fixed. They can change and flow based on the input.
That feels like the next frontier. We are moving from these rigid, monolithic structures to things that are more fluid and organic. It makes me wonder what this means for the average person using these tools. If I am using an AI in 2026, should I care if it is a Transformer or a Mamba model?
In most cases, you will not see the architecture under the hood. But you will feel the effects. You will notice that you can upload a 1,000-page PDF and the AI responds instantly. You will notice that your phone can run a very capable assistant locally without draining the battery in 20 minutes.
That is the real takeaway, isn't it? The non-transformer architectures are what will allow AI to move from these massive data centers in the desert into our pockets and our edge devices.
Absolutely. Efficiency is the key to democratization. If it costs $100,000 in electricity to train a model, only a few companies can do it. But if we can find architectures that are 10 times more efficient, the barrier to entry drops significantly. We talked about this a bit in episode 272 when we were discussing optimizing websites for AI bots. The more efficient the bots are, the more pervasive they become.
It is a fascinating evolution. It is like we are watching the Cambrian explosion of AI architectures. For a while, the Transformer was the only predator in the sea, and now all these new forms are emerging to fill different niches.
I love that analogy, and just like in evolution, some of these will be dead ends, but others will become the foundation for the next decade of progress. I suspect the winner will not be a single architecture, but a synthesis, a model that can attend to details when it needs to, but can also maintain a high-level state space for long-term memory.
It is also worth noting that as these architectures change, the way we train them has to change too. We can't just use the same old recipes.
That is a great point, Korn. A lot of the research right now is focused on how to properly initialize these models. With a transformer, we have years of intuition about how to set the weights. With something like Mamba or RetNet, we are still learning the best ways to get them to converge. It is a bit like learning to cook with a completely new type of stove.
You have to adjust the temperature and the timing.
Exactly. But the results are starting to speak for themselves. We are seeing Mamba 2 models that outperform transformers of the same size on almost every benchmark. That was the turning point. Once the alternatives started winning on performance, not just efficiency, the industry really started to pay attention.
So, looking ahead to the rest of 2026 and into 2027, where do you see the most excitement? Is there a particular architecture that you think is going to become the new standard?
If I had to place a bet, I think the hybrid approach is the most likely winner for the near term. Pure attention is just too good at certain types of reasoning to give up entirely. But the quadratic cost is too high to keep it for everything. A model that uses attention sparingly, like a surgical tool, and uses something like Mamba or a modern RNN for the heavy lifting of context management, that seems like the winning formula.
It feels more balanced. More like how a human brain works, perhaps. We don't hold every single detail in our working memory at the same time. We have different systems for short-term and long-term storage.
That is exactly right. We have our prefrontal cortex for active manipulation of information, which is a bit like attention, and we have the hippocampus and other structures for more compressed, long-term representations. We are effectively building those same structural divisions into our silicon brains.
I think this is a great place to pivot to some practical takeaways for our listeners. Because while the math is fascinating, most people want to know how this affects their work or their daily life.
Definitely. The first big takeaway is that the era of the million token context window is here to stay, and it is going to get cheaper. If you are a developer or a business owner, you should start thinking about how you would use an AI that can remember every interaction you have ever had with it.
That is a huge shift in how we build applications. Instead of worrying about what to include in the prompt, you just include everything.
Right. The second takeaway is the rise of on-device AI. Because these new architectures are so much more memory efficient, we are going to see a huge leap in the quality of AI running locally on laptops and phones. This has massive implications for privacy and for using AI in offline environments.
I'm personally looking forward to having a truly capable assistant on my phone that doesn't have to send every word I say to a server in another country.
We all are. And the third takeaway is for the more technically minded listeners, keep an eye on the software libraries. We are seeing a lot of work in making these non-transformer architectures compatible with existing tools. Things like the Hugging Face ecosystem are rapidly integrating support for Mamba and RWKV, which makes it easier for researchers to experiment.
It is all about lowering the friction. The easier it is to use these new models, the faster they will be adopted.
Exactly. And honestly, it is just an exciting time to be curious. We are no longer in a world where there is only one way to build a smart machine. The diversity of thought in the research community right now is higher than I have seen it in years.
Well, I think we have covered a lot of ground here. We went from the quadratic bottleneck of transformers to the recurrent shapeshifting of RWKV7 and XLSTM. The selective state spaces of Mamba 2, the hybrid vigor of Jamba, and the impossible trinity of RetNet.
It is a lot to digest, but that is why we love these prompts. They force us to look at the whole map, not just the road we are currently on.
Absolutely. And before we wrap up, I want to say that if you are enjoying these deep dives into the guts of AI and technology, we would really appreciate it if you could leave us a review on your podcast app or on Spotify. It genuinely helps other curious people find the show, and we love reading your feedback.
It really does make a difference. We are a small team here in Jerusalem, and knowing that people are finding value in these discussions is what keeps us going.
And if you have a question or a weird prompt of your own, like Daniel did, you can head over to our website at myweirdprompts.com and use the contact form there. We would love to hear what is on your mind.
Maybe your prompt will be the basis for episode 279.
You never know. All right, Herman, any final thoughts before we sign off?
Just that the future is not a straight line. We often think that technology just moves in one direction, but often it circles back to old ideas and breathes new life into them. The RNN was dead and now it is back. Control theory was for rockets and now it is for language. Stay curious, because the next big breakthrough might be hidden in a textbook from 40 years ago.
I love that. A perfect note to end on. Thanks for listening to My Weird Prompts. You can find us on Spotify and at our website, myweirdprompts.com.
Until next time, I am Herman Poppleberry.
And I am Korn. We will talk to you soon.
This episode was generated using Gemini Flash 3. Text-to-speech engine was Chatterbox Turbo.
Thanks for listening to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring Daniel Rosehill's AI prompts, as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters including me, Cornelius the Sloth. Subscribe on Spotify or visit myweirdprompts.com.